Now, before we pray, I would like to read a word. We probably already know this scripture, but nevertheless, it should be for our comfort and edification. I would like to ask that we stand up for it. From the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the well-known word from verse 11. John 10, from verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep, for he is just an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Up to here, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and faithfulness. Lord, your word is true. Your word is our life. In your word we find you, Lord Jesus Christ. It is your word. Yes, it is you yourself, my God. I thank you, as we have just read, that you are the good shepherd. O Lord, I thank you that you call your own and call them by name. Lord, you have called us, O God. Grant us grace that we may always heed you and your voice. O Lord, for you alone are the one who brings us in and leads us out. Thanks be to you that you have come as the good shepherd, Lord. Not only did you come, but you laid down your life, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You have come to your own, O Lord. You brought out those who looked up to you, O God, and waited. Lord, thank you that your word has also reached us. Lord in heaven, I ask you to permeate us through and through with your Spirit. Lord, you know that we long for this. We can do nothing of ourselves, Lord, unless you do it, Lord, as the good shepherd, and you go before us, O God, and call us to follow you, Lord Jesus. Give us grace to praise you this evening. Amen. You may be seated. It's always nice when brethren can dwell together in unity, rejoicing in what God is doing. And I'm also grateful for the testimony of our brother from the GDR. And when I heard 25 broken bones, I couldn't believe my ears. How often do we quarrel with God over small things? And we don't even realize how much more others have had to go through. We have much reason to be thankful for what God has given us. We are inwardly convinced that God will come into his own, and all things have their time. That's what it says. Where is it? In Proverbs or Ecclesiastes? perhaps Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything, a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to mourn and a time to rejoice. Everything has its time. And we are convinced that God watches over everything and that none of us can do anything unless He does it through us. At some point, we will all realize, and I deliberately and consciously include myself in this, at some point, we will all realize that we cannot reach perfection and completion without each other, but only with each other and with the Lord. We also experienced it with Brother Rus last Friday, when three sisters from the Cologne area came after they had called beforehand and asked us, especially one of them, she was the speaker, she sincerely and wholeheartedly apologized for the damage she had done to us personally and to the cause of God. I could only say, Sister, we sincerely accept this apology, but your task now is to go to those where you have caused the damage. And she said, Brother Frank, this is already in my heart, and I'm going to go and talk to everyone about it. And we brought it before the Lord. And Brother Rus knows God was very close to us. We have been forgiven everything, and we forgive everyone everything. The important thing is that we get there in time. To come in time, that is important. There will be some who may have gone too far, and perhaps their own pride sometimes does not allow them to humble themselves a little. If we strip others to the skin, then we don't mind at all. And if we then soil them from head to toe, that's fine too. But if we had to humble ourselves a little, then everything would bristle like a hedgehog when someone gets close to it. Then all you would notice are the spines. But that's the way it is. What we expect from others, we should all be prepared to do. And then it wouldn't have to be pushing and shoving. It has to push us inwardly, not one to the other, but from God. Sister Vogt asked me to bring this book with me, with a picture of the boy whose foot has grown longer. And perhaps I should also mention that I was also moved when our brother said that there were evangelists, and he went and spoke to them and said, pray for me. They may never have done it before in their lives. And he said, pray for me and anoint me with oil, for thus it is written. He believed. He believed, and they acted on it. And God stood and stands by His word. God reveals Himself in simplicity. I read here the testimony of F.F. Bosworth, a very old man of God who traveled with Brother Branham. But you can have a look later. It's a bit unesthetic, but you can have a look at the picture here in the center of this Florence Nightingale, who is really just skin and bones. She is pictured here with skin and bones. And then on the next page, as healed, to see what God has done. And it didn't just happen so that we can marvel at it, but so that we can be strengthened in our faith, and that we are reminded anew, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, I listened to a tape from the Düsseldorf Church Congress, this year's Church Congress, and a woman was speaking, and God knows that this woman blasphemed him. People go to the front, and what they say is blasphemous from start to finish. And the people clap and are thrilled, and God listens to it all. But one day it's over. At the end, she probably says, "This is the God in whom Reagan believes, who is preparing the last things of the apocalypse." We all can't do anything. God has made promises, has led his people Israel back, has spoken of a battle of Armageddon, and that the weapons will be gathered for 7 years, and the dead will be buried for 7 months. Then it must be true if God has said it, and then it must come, and it will come soon. Oh, this blasphemy. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You get angry deep down, and you could just say, "Lord, strike her dead." Yes. Women are in good hands at the cooking pot. But when they step upon a platform, that's not right. And then in this way. But perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned it, but it was simply unbearable. But a person who has their senses together and fears God and God's word, he just can't accept that. But here now, just one thing, very briefly, from Brother Bosford, who many years before Brother Branham began his ministry, had probably the most blessed healing ministry up to that time, after Charles Price and Smith Wigglesworth. And he writes here, I translate directly, it will sound a bit strange here from the English, because of this healing ministry, it took more than earthly labor and effort. We have prayed, oh, so earnestly prayed, that God would raise up someone among the laborers to help us in this great neglected part of the ministry. And over the last few years, I have often wept for joy before God about the gift he has given his church through our beloved brother William Branham, which is so wonderful, this gift of healing. This is a thing that God is doing far beyond what we could ask and plead for. For what no eye has ever seen and what I have never read about, this unrivaled healing ministry of William Branham. And this is a man who had many, many things to show. Osborne benefited greatly from him, not only from his books, but from his instructions. But he had the grace. I also knew him personally. He had the grace to pray and then accept when God sent what he asked for, and that's always a good sign when people ask God for something and then it comes, that they can accept it and thank him for it. I have just one verse that moved me today when I was thinking about the next circular letter from 1 Corinthians 14, and then I will sit down. Maybe Brother Rus will have a word, or we will pray, whatever. And that's 1 Corinthians 14. It's mainly verse 33. Yes, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. This is how Paul portrays the presence of God in all the churches of the saints. Where there is confusion, disorder, there is also discord, and there is much more. Where there is divine order, there is divine peace. There can be growth and prosperity in the church. After Paul has previously classified the gifts of the Spirit and ministries, he continues to write, and then in verse 37 he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. It may have sounded so harsh and perhaps not quite comprehensible to some, but he did what God had commanded him to do. He was commanded not to let everything go, but to establish the spiritual order in the church so that there could be peace in the church. As you know, the gifts of the Spirit are mentioned here before. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. This is divine order in a church service. If someone wants to speak, there should be two or three in turn, and only then should the interpretation come. He then went on to write, prophets should likewise. I had read verse 27 earlier. Now I read verse 29. No. 29? Yes, I had read 27. And now 29. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. I assume that the Luther translation translates prophet here. But a prophecy cannot be interrupted. A prophecy, if it is from God, is God speaking. But if someone can be interrupted, then he is presenting the prophetic part of God's plan of salvation. But if at one moment he perhaps does not get to the heart of the matter, then it may be that God suddenly shows and reveals the right word to another person who is sitting by. He can rise up. He can say, just a moment, so and so is the matter. But this cannot be arbitrariness. This cannot be assumption. It must be the revelation of the Word through the Spirit. He has arranged everything in a very wonderful way. He says here in verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. What a marvelous instruction! And everyone who allows himself to be taught by God will be able to go along inwardly with everything that is said according to the Word of God. But then comes this point, after he has expounded all this, and says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I am convinced that where God is in a heart, in a home, in a church, in a life, there is peace, for He is our peace. There is salvation, for He is our salvation. There is life, for He is our life. There is all that He is. Then, of course, comes the teaching for our dear sisters. That actually hurts me myself, I have to admit, but accept it as it is given. And then comes verse 37, which I have already read. If any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, he must acknowledge, not only can or would you please, but he must acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, not arbitrariness, not my opinion, not what I feel, but is the commandment of the Lord. And when we have realized that we are dealing with God and God's Word and come before Him in proper reverence, then He will bless us. But He is not quite finished yet. In verse 38, the hammer comes down in full and He says, or writes, if someone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. There is only one of the two. You can't sit between two chairs. Either one recognizes what is of God, what is valid before Him, what is right, and decides in favor of it. If not, it says here, if someone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. That's a harsh word. You could say, Paul, you really show no mercy. You leave no room for maneuver. You have the opinion that if you say something, then everyone has to accept it. He had nothing to say. God spoke through him. He was a chosen tool in the hands of God, and he could speak with this divine authority. And how many were there who did not listen to him, who said, in his letters he is mighty, but in his words he is nothing at all. You all know these scriptures. It is the same in this time. When it is shown and revealed to a person by God then we see it, then we recognize it, then we understand that what God has spoken is God's word. Amen. Finish. Full stop. No more and no less. And that God, unfortunately or fortunately, does not always think like us, and does not always agree with us, and does not always say exactly what we have already said. We have to put up with that. But blessed is he who then experiences an hour and stands on God's side in order to then say what God has said. And if God gives grace, then to do accordingly. As I said, this just struck me today, and it spoke to my heart in a very powerful way. And I realized that it's not rational reasoning. We would certainly all have said, for God is not a God of disorder, but of order. That's what we would have said. Yes. And what does Paul write? God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. He went to the root of the matter. He knew very well that if God is there, then there is peace. And if he is there, then there is order. And if there is disorder, then there is discord. And then he comes to the point, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. We could not wish for more than that we could become a church that can be addressed as a church of saints. As far as I'm aware, the Roman Catholic Church only has deceased people that it calls saints. But God has saints and beloved ones who live here on earth, who have experienced him, who believe him, who have been added to his body. And so may the Lord give us all, really everyone, perhaps a lot of grace in the very things we struggle with. It is not the things that we are all so familiar with that are important, but precisely those things where we have a nut to crack, precisely those must also be mastered, and God will help us to do so. I have confidence, because the measure of ungodliness will soon be full. It's about to overflow. And we can tell from everything that it's coming to an end. Nobody knows how much longer it will last. But one thing I do know is that God has given us grace to recognize the time in which we live, not to define it, but to recognize it. Setting dates, many have done that. But we have recognized the time and the hour in which we live. I would like to ask you to remember me in particular in your prayers. Please pray for me. I absolutely don't like traveling anymore. On the contrary, it's only because I have to. Otherwise, I almost couldn't and wouldn't. But it's simply necessary, and that's why I do it. And so may God also grant grace for this journey through India. As you know, it's one of the poorest countries on earth. And you are given a good shaking on all the roads you travel on. And you go from aircraft to aircraft, and from hotel to hotel, from one city to another. A total of at least 6 or 7 cities in just under 10 days. And I will take greetings with me, but it is very important that you remember me in earnest prayer. May the Lord bless us all. There was something else in the song that I wanted to say, but we all sang it with all our hearts. They were wonderful songs that we sang to the glory of God. May the Lord bless you all and be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word, for your presence, for your speaking, beloved Lord, that you could reveal yourself as the God of peace in our midst. Beloved Lord, take us all, revive us anew, my Lord, that songs of praise and worship may reach your throne. Lord, I pray you, bless Brother Rus, be with him, that he may bring your word with joy. Bless all my beloved brothers who come to the front. Bless all those who carry your work in their prayers and glorify your name. Bless all sisters, Lord. Oh, we thank you for each other. Bless also our beloved brother as he travels back to the GDR. Lord, we ask you to bless your people all over the earth. Oh God, the measure is full. We pray, Lord, that you will draw near and turn to us, O God, that your name may be glorified once more, and that these uncircumcised Philistines may be put to shame with their mockery, and that these Goliaths are silenced. Lord, the day and hour is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are the Lord. Hallelujah. Faithful God, you know everything that moves us. Thank you so much that you will be with us and bring us to our destination. Glory be to your name. Amen.